The following program, Justice and Why It Matters to You, is sponsored by Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. This is Justice and What It Matters to You, every Saturday afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All rise.
Now, here's Justice and What It Matters to You with Danny Manoff.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to Justice and Why It Matters to You, hosted by Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Take a look at us at www.ipsvirtual.com. We're the company that's innovating the virtual frontier for legal services. And it is my privilege today to have my friend and colleague here, Dan Gross, Esquire. We're going to have Danny talk a little bit about his practice, how he came to be an attorney, what justice means to him, and of course, we'll be taking calls. Danny, good morning and welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
I'd like to ask you to tell us a little bit about how you came to be an attorney. I'd like to know more about that.
Well, it's actually a little different than what I ended up doing, but I was in school. I went to Penn State, and I was really interested in politics, majoring in international politics. And originally, my plan was to do that, get a master's in something, and then work in policy. And then I decided that a law degree might be a good way to do that. So that was really what I had in mind. But then when I ended up going to law school, 9/11 happened around that time, and sort of everything changed. I mean, the whole world changed at that point. And everyone's perspectives changed. And it was actually interesting. My law school class was about three times bigger than they are every other year because people saw that as their civic duty. And one way to serve was to be an attorney. I'd already been planning on going, but it just so happened that coincided. So originally I wanted to do the politics thing, but then I started taking different classes. I got an internship with the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office in Boston. Eventually, I got to be a student prosecutor there and actually prosecute cases. I started taking every trial practice class I could, and that's really what I had a passion for, was advocating in court, doing litigation, civil, criminal. Now, I also do a lot of other stuff. I mean, I've worked extensively with real estate litigation, wills and trusts, elder law over the years. I've been doing this for about 20 years. But originally, yeah, it was actually just to work in Washington.
Excellent. And so becoming an attorney, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is to, in your mind, be an effective attorney? And if you could, a little bit about what justice means to you in the system that you work in.
Well, let me answer the first part of that first. I think justice can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. To the prosecutors, unfortunately, sometimes it's just about getting that conviction. There's also to the defense attorney or the defendant, it's just getting that not guilty, getting an acquittal. To civil litigants, it's about winning your case. So I think obviously there's that. We have an adversarial system, so clearly there's fighting for your client and winning. But I think that if you're actually talking about what justice means to me, and I don't know that we have achieved this yet, and it's my hope that someday we will. I think it's about reaching a harmony between the laws on which our country was largely founded and the real lives, real stories, real needs of the people thrown into that system. Because sometimes the law could seem harsh, sometimes it could seem favorable to one side, but we often forget that the real people facing these challenges, whether it's probate, whether it's criminal defense, whether it's civil, whatever it may be, I mean, this is everything to them. And you asked me about, I think the question was basically what makes you, what's an effective attorney or something to that effect. Am I right, Danny?
Sure. We'd like to know more about your philosophy as an attorney and the system that you're working in.
Well, I think there's a few things. First of all, you have to do everything you can within the rules and ethics and requirements to advocate for your client's position. I think that's a given. But I think you really have to put the client first because you have some problems. All too often you have some firms that all they want to do is, I mean, they see it as a business. They see it as a bottom line. And it might be the criminal defense attorney that pushes people into really not good pleas for their clients so that they could turn more cases and essentially run a volume business. That happens all too often, and it's unfortunate. You have, you know, large firms, civil firms, whatever, that really just see their clients as numbers. I think in addition to the legal knowledge and the strategizing and all that, I think you have to remember that each one of your clients is a person. And while I may have any number of cases at my firm, to each client, this is their whole life right now. This is everything to them. I mean, I could be doing criminal defense, and I could have major felonies, and I could have a minor misdemeanor. But that minor misdemeanor to that person may mean, am I going to be able to get a job? Is it going to affect this? Is it going to affect my relationships, my marriage, everything, and so on? And you have to keep focused on the person as a person. And I'm not just saying this, you know, attorneys, it could be doctors, whatever. But the point is, you got to remember that you're dealing with people's lives. And I think keeping that in perspective is important.
I would agree. And the impact of someone receiving a criminal charge or having a criminal issue or any legal issue tends to be upsetting. Folks tend to be feeling alienated. In our past show, we talked a little bit about the knowledge gap between where folks are and what they don't know about the law. Unfortunately, in the system we're in, it's not taught as part of a normal high school education or even at a college level unless the person is pursuing some kind of a law degree. One of the things I admire about you and your practice, Danny, is you're doggedly determined to get that justice. And you know the name of the show. It's Justice and Why That Matters to You. And from where we sit at Intrepid, justice is the hallmark of civility. It's something that shows the quality of a particular country, in our opinion, and how its people are treated.
Sure.
So I'm curious, as time goes by, you're now 20 plus years as an attorney, what do you see coming in the changing landscape for the legal system? And how can folks avail themselves of effective legal representation? What's the best way to do that?
Well, I think we live in an age where legal marketing, so you have to understand that originally lawyers weren't allowed to advertise. For whatever reason, the bar, the ABA felt that, you know, lawyers shouldn't advertise. And there is some you know, truth to that. Nobody wants the concept of the ambulance chaser or anything like that. But at the other side of the coin, for example, a lawyer, if there's a car accident, a lawyer can't reach out to someone within a certain amount of time and talk to that person. But the insurance company that's definitely not on their side can reach out and often does reach out while they're in the hospital bed. And they say things like, why don't you sign this and we'll get you some money to cover your hospital bills and your copays? And they're asking someone who's literally in the hospital to sign away all of their rights in exchange for what's really a few bucks. So I think that what you have is, so then you have attorneys are allowed to advertise and other firms and the paralegal firms and everything else. And what you get is you get just sort of a sort of mix of you don't know what's real, you don't know what to trust, everything sounds good. I think that people are going to have to get a little smarter about navigating, a little smarter about, like, not just listening to everything that sounds polished, because, I mean, other industries, drug industry, everything, pharmaceuticals, everything, I've been doing it for years. So I think really the key is to, it's about relationships. It's about talking to someone. It's about talking to that prospective attorney. It's about building relationships of trust. And I think that we're going to sort of see two systems, essentially, and we're going to see this sort of more business corporate side, and then we're going to see more personal connections. So, I mean, I would hope people would steer towards the personal connections, but I see that as one of the change. We're also seeing a lot more the concept of prepackaged legal solutions. And essentially what that is people are, there's firms doing stuff at different stage of the case. There's people that are helping people who are pro se. So all of those things can be good, because at the end of the day, I think that there are firms that in downtown D.C. and New York, and, you know, they've been around for 200 years and they bill $900 an hour and all. And these are firms that large corporations go to. But that's not a model that works for real people, especially in our changing economy. So I think we're going to see things that change to sort of meet with the actual needs and demands of real people.
Our last show, we talked a little bit about what that means, the gap between available resources and securing competent legal representation. And we talked about a study that was done that showed that almost 77% of the American public would be hard-pressed right now to handle an unexpected expense of $400. And with law rates, the rate for a lawyer per hour being anywhere between $300 and $600 on average, for an attorney, I don't think an hour to an hour and a half, if they're lucky, is enough time to do much of anything for someone who's experiencing a legal problem. So I appreciate you speaking to that. Dane, do me a favor and talk a little bit about your practice. Just tell us a little bit about your practice philosophy, the areas that you work in, and if you could, just identify how folks might find you out there when they're taking a look.
Sure. Well, we have, in my firm, we have kind of a little bit of a broad practice area. We do family litigation. That's a big part of my practice, which can be divorce, child custody, adoption, and the like. And that's actually something we're seeing a lot of change in now, because I'm getting a lot more clients that are more advanced in years. That's something that we hadn't seen before. People are realizing that if you're not happy with your situation, you may be in your 60s, 70s, whatever it may be, but you're never too young to make that change. If that's what you need to get on with your life, and you deserve to be happy. So you may have been in this horrible, abusive relationship. And I know that the older generations tend not to get divorced, but I mean, that's one thing. Obviously, child custody and so on. I still do criminal defense. I have a background in that, so I handle some generally, we do everything from DUIs to major felonies. My office happens to be in Rockville, but we work pretty much all over the state. I'm up in this area. I'm down in Southern Maryland. So, I mean, if we have the right case and the right client, I'm happy to do that. And then also, I've been focusing a lot on estate planning as well, advanced directives. I think that estate planning is an interesting thing because, well, it does several things. First of all, nobody wants to talk about estate planning because nobody wants to think about death. I think my law professor years ago used to like to quote Shakespeare talking about shuffling off this mortal coil. But the thing is that if you don't make those decisions, you leave those decisions for your family. And that's really doesn't always work out so well. I mean, we all know families that were very close until someone died. Then there was a fight over a will or a trust or something else, and now they don't talk anymore. And that can last for years. And it's generational, too, because when parents don't talk, kids don't talk. So people's cousins aren't close anymore. So that's important. So it does that. And then also in that term, we also do what's called advanced directives. Advanced directives are what people call living wills. Maryland, we typically call them advanced directives, but basically it deals with what you want to happen when you go to the hospital. And there's basically three choices, just to get sort of specific on this point. You know, if you're in the hospital and you're incapacitated, you can't make that decision for yourself. And basically, you can either choose, I don't want any medical treatment, I want a straight do not resuscitate or DNR, which some people choose. Or you could say, I want everything, every medical resource known to man, known to medical science. I don't care if I'm in a persistent vegetative state. I want to stay alive. Now, that can lead to sort of, and then you have sort of the middle ground, which I think most people choose. That is essentially, if the doctors say that there's a high likelihood that I'm not going to survive or have no quality of life, or thought, or you know, a brain function or anything else, then at that point, I don't wish to be resuscitated. I just want pain management. But if there's a reasonable chance of recovery and success and leading a normal life, then I do. Now, you can direct someone in your family to be sort of what they call your healthcare proxy. They could be your healthcare proxy, but you could also direct which one of those choices they make, because
Danny, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're going to take a break for just a moment. We'll be right back to continue this conversation.
The Sage from South Central is back on your radio. This is Larry Elder. Join me Sundays at 10 p.m. as we discuss the most important issues in this pivotal election. Let's get to work on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
This is Pastor David Lewis at the Cup Hill Bible Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth. The Bible is replete with scriptures where God chastises and punishes his people Israel for their sinful disobedience. He often brought judgment to them in the form of famines, natural disasters, or enslavement by neighboring lands. Before you quickly dismiss this as just Old Testament history, let me remind you that there are many people here in America who would identify themselves as God's people just as closely as Israel did of old. God is not only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thereby making all who claim to be a true follower of Christ also a child of God. So it's to all of you born-again believers in particular to whom I'm speaking. It's time to put your faith above your color. It's time to put it above your politics. And it's time to put it above your wants and desires. God made one race, the human race, and as believers, we're to put aside our human differences and seek that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. When we finally start doing that, maybe our states can once again be united. This is Pastor David Lewis, and it's been today's moment of truth.
Looking for a natural way to boost energy, support your heart, and stay active as you age? It's time to try Rescue Orasine. This unique supplement gives your body the essentials it needs to fight fatigue and improve stamina without relying on sugar, caffeine, or artificial boosters. Plus, it supports healthy blood pressure and overall cardiovascular function, helping you feel your best every day. Right now, WCBM listeners can take advantage of a special buy one, get one free offer on Rescue Orasine. Just use the code MYENERGY when you order. Call 800-26-ALIVE, that is 800-262-5483, to speak with a knowledgeable product consultant. Or visit res-q.com and enter the code MYENERGY at checkout. Don't miss out. This exclusive deal won't last long. Go to res-q.com now and use the code MYENERGY. That's MYENERGY. To grab Rescue Orasine with buy one, get one free savings. Stay energized, stay heart healthy with Rescue Natural Supplements.
The Kim Glasic Show.
Mayor Scott and friends, Governor Westmore, you're showing your hand. You now just informed everybody. We are relying so heavily on federal funds that if they were to pull the bottom out, we're done. It's kaput. All of this that you're telling us, Maryland is so great that we've got the best and the brightest. It's all tied to the federal government. You really don't have much of anything.
The Kim Glasic Show. Weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Take WCBM wherever you go. Listen on 680 WCBM, WCBM.com, on the WCBM mobile app, or tell Alexa, Siri, or Google to play WCBM. It's free. Listen live or on demand to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. The Rob Carson Show.
This is the way liberals always are. They always have been. They're very dour and they're awful people. They want you to be as miserable as they are. They can't stand for you to be happier than them. They have to drag you to their spot. This is the personality type that Democrats possess. They hate you because you're a success. They want to take what you have. They say that the reason why you have something is because you have an unfair advantage. They're very unhappy people.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Now, back to justice and what it matters to you. Every Saturday afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Once again, here's your host, Danny Manoff.
Welcome back, everybody. We're in conversation with Dan Gross, attorney at law, talking about estate planning, why it's necessary, and a little bit about the control you could have by taking action to do your planning prior to death. Danny, you were talking a little bit about estate planning before we took our break. Why don't you continue?
Oh, thanks, Dan. I was talking about, in this case, the advance directives. And essentially what I was saying is that these are hard choices, but if you can make them for your family, it saves a lot of angst. Because at the end of the day, if something should happen to you and you don't have that in place, the doctor, the respiratory specialist, there's going to be that time when they take you to the hospital chapel and they have that conversation with you. You know, we're really not sure if your dad's going to make it through. We don't think he is, but we can intubate him at this time and all that. And this is not something that's an easy choice to make. And it's not something that if you can avoid it, you should leave to your family. And that's one of the things why these are hard things to talk about and hard things to do, but it really does help those who you love deal with something difficult. Then in terms of financial planning, I think it's very important. There's a lot of things we do. I do wills, but primarily I think for a lot of people, a trust is a better vehicle. We do generally what's called a living trust, which allows people to change what they want while they're alive. And then upon death, it does whatever we decide. It could be a charitable contributions, family members, educational, whatever you want, we can do. But I think that's it's something that, you know, you have to have a long talk about, decide what you want to do. It helps with finances, it helps with taxes, helps with a lot of things, but it also helps keep those fights out of the family because everything's done. And, you know, they don't get to decide who gets what because you've already done that for them. I think also there's other things to take into account. For example, we do, if someone, my personal advice is if someone is, you know, has a kid and they're 17, 18 years of age and you pass away or grandkid or something else and you're leaving them a substantial amount of money, it's generally a bad idea to give an 18-year-old a substantial amount of money because they don't realize what they could spend it on, what they could do, how to invest it, how to do things. And you might be getting them a new car that's going to be, you know, involved in a wreck or something else. And it's really just... So there's things we do, like, for example, between 18 and 25, we set up a trust for that. And someone else makes sure that they have what they need, medicine, educational, school, pays for whatever, but also sort of controls that person so that they can't just go crazy with the money. Then at 25, they get a portion of the money. Then at 29, they get the rest. And these are just numbers that you can choose yourself. But I think that's the sort of thing people often don't think about. That can certainly help basically your family's future, not only financially, but also emotionally and everything else. So I think there's a lot of things that we could definitely help people with. And I think it's important to have a frank discussion about estate planning, make sure everything's in order, and also make sure that the people that you're leaving stuff to, or the executor, the administrator, knows where these documents are. That's often a problem where everybody's scrambling for the documents. One thing I will say, this is just general advice, safe deposit boxes are not often such a good job because if you haven't given access to the person to open that safe deposit box, you need a court order to do that often, and that can delay things a tremendous amount of time. So one of the better things is to give the personal representative a copy, but also your lawyer will have a copy so that they could contact, for example, my office if we were doing the plan for you. And it's just, I think, a very important thing to do for everybody. Also, we do powers of attorneys and other stuff. You asked where they could find me. They could always call me. My number is 301-388-5434. That's 301-388-5434. Or you could reach me on the web. It's D Gross. That's D-G-R-O-S-S, legal, legal.com. So D Gross Legal. And you could fill out a form on the website or give me a call, and we'd be happy to talk to you.
You know, that's great. A ton of great information. And I want to supplement it by saying to our listeners, our call-in lines are open if you'd like to call. I just want to mention the fact that this presenter, me, Danny, from Intrepid, I have had the opportunity to pay attorneys in my background and to see somebody like Danny who is passionate about what he does, committed to doing it in a way that is respectful, professional, and with concern to all the factors when folks have legal issues or need estate planning, is just been a very refreshing experience because a number of years in the legal industry has shown me that there's a great variance between people that practice in this field. And so, Danny, I just, again, my hats off to you and compliments to you. While we see if callers call in on 1-800-WCBM-680, I would like to talk to you a little bit about technology. Certainly, technology has had an impact on the legal system. You mentioned a little bit about COVID and where you were during that timeline, and I can remember that Intrepid was one of the only, if not the only, firm that had a virtual presence when COVID hit. In fact, we've been virtual since 2016. And so COVID changed things, didn't it? And technology changed. Let me hear from your perspective how technology and COVID have impacted the practice of law.
Well, I think there's, first of all, COVID at first, I mean, as everyone knows, was a terrible, terrible thing. And it basically shut everything down. I think March 13th was kind of the date that I remember of 2020. And I had a jury trial. It was a bench trial that the 16th. And I had clients coming in from Germany and Austria, witnesses. And it was a fairly big trial in Anne Arundel County in Annapolis. And I remember we didn't know what to do if the witnesses came. We were dealing with quarantines and everything else. And then basically over the weekend, the world shut down. And that Monday, we found out there would be no trial. Well, we also found out there would be no anything. For a while, they couldn't figure out virtual. They couldn't do anything. I think it's interesting that companies like Skype and so on that seemed like they were positioned to sort of jump to the front didn't, and we ended up, everybody found out what Zoom is. We'd actually been using Zoom for a little while for our communication system prior to that, but Zoom became a thing, and it was in the beginning, nobody really knew what they were doing. I still remember that meme with the guy that has a cat filter on, and you know, he's sitting there telling the judge, "I'm here, I'm not actually a cat." If you haven't seen that, I highly recommend
Worth
it.
Worth watching, huh? Okay.
Absolutely. But it was a process of sort of getting back to normalcy. But one of the things, there was that delay, I think, and that is what the technology helped us overcome. One of the things, I had a client who had a restraining order against them, a protective order. And when you get a temporary, so basically the first time someone goes to the commissioner and they get an interim protective order. And basically you could say anything at that point and get the interim protective order. And then they have a temporary protective order hearing. And the temporary hearing essentially is still ex parte, but it's a little bit more. And then after that, if that's granted, you should have a final hearing within 1 week. And the reason for that urgency is because the person who's the subject of the restraining order, and I do both sides, I get them four people and I defend them depending on who my client is, has a restraining order against them. It's temporary, but it's against them. And they're supposed to have that hearing within a week. And I remember getting one I guess it would have been the end of March, and the hearing was set for October. So this 1 week, I mean, there's often, part of it is you don't know what to do, but there's a quote that I think I was at a conference once in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they gave out bracelets that said, "Justice delayed is justice denied." And that's sort of often when we're talking about justice, I think that's one of the things that comes to mind. Now, in terms of the technology, we do the Zoom. There are Zoom hearings. For example, routine scheduling hearings and scheduling conferences are often still done by Zoom. And I think that's a great thing because if I have a 15-minute hearing, then I can essentially have a few minutes of wait time and charge a client for the time it takes to do that. We don't have to drive an hour to court or drive a half hour to court and sit there in the lobby for a half hour and do all this stuff. I can do other work so I can bill other clients and do stuff. So I think it helps the clients in that respect for minor hearings. And
so it'd be fair to say that it's a cost savings for folks.
I think it definitely is.
So the use of technology is going to save people money by having Zoom type platforms where you don't have to bill for the drive time or additional time involved traditionally.
I think that's true. And I think also I like meeting people and talking to people in person. But during the pandemic, obviously we became a virtual society. I mean, my kid's school was virtual. And that was a little strange, I'm going to be honest with you. I do recall my son eating Cheetos during gym class while he was sitting in front of the monitor doing his exercises. So, you know.
Different.
Different. Mm-hmm. But he did get an A in phys ed. So
there you go.
There you go. But aside from that, so we've sort of become virtual. And what that's done is a lot of my consultations are over the phone now. A lot of my client meetings are over the phone or over Zoom. And while I'm happy to meet people in person, we've sort of found that it's not always necessary to have that communication. So I think it fits into people's days a lot more. They don't have to plan 3 hours off from work to see their attorney. They can have a 15-minute visit in 15 minutes and get on with their day and their lives. So I think there are certain things that still need to be in person. Like I personally, some trials are still virtual. I don't like doing an actual trial virtually, just because when I'm cross-examining someone or direct, I like to have that connection. I like the judge to see people, but I could certainly do either. So I think there's pros and cons, but I think generally, I think it's helped us a lot. I think there's all, then there's now recently we're hearing about the AI, which is definitely can be a game changer. I think you have to be careful and you can't fully trust it, especially in the early days of this. I don't mean trust in terms of Terminator taking over the world, but I mean, we've heard about in Florida where they made up some fake cases on one of those AI platforms and he just relied on them to a judge. So you certainly can't do that.
Let me interject here. I had an interesting event happen recently. I was with my colleague, Sebastian, our chief operating officer in Austin, Texas, for the Clio conference. And I know you're familiar with Clio. I've talked about it briefly. It's the, really in my mind, the number one client relationship management software system. It is approved by the ABA in all 50 states.
I use it as well.
Awesome. And in that meeting, Jack Newton, who is the founder of Clio, made the statement that any attorney that doesn't become proficient in AI won't be around in 5 years. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, I think from an industry perspective, definitely that's, you know, and I understand their perspective. I think that AI is a tool like anything else. I don't know that I would necessarily go that far, but what I would say, if you're asking me, and I guess you are, is that I think it's definitely a tool and that if you don't utilize it, you're going to be sort of a dinosaur in the industry. So I think that as more and more attorneys use it, you're going to be able to do things faster and better. And if you're still sitting there sort of doing everything the old-fashioned way and sort of reinventing the wheel every time you do something, I think it's going to end up being more time, which turns into more billable hours. And while that might be good for a firm, it's not good for clients. We have to remember to be client-focused.
Awesome. That's exactly what I'm thinking, that anything that increases efficiency and effectiveness, we should be pursuing. And historically, the legal industry has been extraordinarily slow to do that. I think the world that we're living in today demands it. You know, Danny, you triggered an interesting thought that I discussed with a couple of my professors at Regent University. We couldn't get a conclusion on it, so I'm going to give it to you for a moment. If somebody is participating in a trial virtually, do you think on appeal they have an argument that the reflection, the personal touch, all of that was not a part of the hearing, and that on that basis they ought to be able to appeal if it doesn't go their way?
I think it, if we're talking philosophically, I think they should. I think practically, I just don't think it's going to happen. Because I think that there's a reason that these trials are being done virtually. Part of it's for efficiency. And I think that the courts will often give deference to appellate courts to that. And sometimes they're even like, for example, in a CINA, which is a child in need of assistance case, the judges will often ask, does everyone consent to doing it virtually? Mm-hmm. So I think now there's more of that push from the judges to get people to consent. And usually once you consent to something, it's hard to appeal it later.
Well, I look at the metrics of like you describing what happened with your son being in the gym class eating Cheetos. And certainly we have the metrics to show that the educational experience for children, young people, virtually is very different than going to the classroom. So the spirit of what I was asking her was thinking in the same vein, is there a difference and have you observed a difference, not to press you on this, but it's an interesting area for me. Have you observed a difference in trial conduct and outcome with you have someone there in person versus on the virtual?
Oh, absolutely. For example, in a child in need of assistance case, this was actually what they call a hybrid hearing. So I was in the Rockville Circuit Court with Department of Social Services attorney, the child's counsel. I was representing the father, but the mother was in appearing virtually. She said it was because she had COVID, so she couldn't be there. So,
Danny, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're going to take a break again for just a moment, but hold your thought because this is definitely provocative.
Earlier today, saw a frontal system that kind of was dying out 2 hours south. Low pressure will pass 2 hours south again on Sunday with high pressure starting to build in. Going to see one day, Tuesday, where we get up to around 70 and then things go back to the mid-60s after that. Now for today, we've seen the early clouds and sunshine, but we'll see more and more sun, get up to the mid-50s. Tonight mostly clear, low 34, sunny tomorrow, high near 60. Jeff Eno from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Tune in to Talk Radio 680 WCBM for Movie Talk with Bob Weinhold and Ira Miller every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. For information about current movies and locations, go to horizoncinemas.com and join Movie Talk Saturdays 4 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stay and relax with Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills with easy check-in using their digital key. Just download their Hilton Honors app. Whether it's a corporate event in Owings Mills, a leisure event, or get-together for drinks at the grill, you can always wake up to a made-to-order delicious breakfast to start your day. Reach out to their sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, at 410-654-0030. You can always count on the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
Was your last electric bill higher than ever? Are rising costs eating away at your fixed income? If you're tired of just getting by, then it's time to explore a reverse mortgage. I'm Mark McVeary. With the federally insured reverse mortgage, you can eliminate your monthly mortgage payments and other debts, access tax-free cash, and make it easier to stay in the home you love. If you want to see some real change, give me a call. 410-788-7070. That's 410-788-7070.
Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, starting March 17th at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County. The Sean Hannity Show.
We have to remember that Trump is the guy who ushered in the era of fake news.
They are the ones that peddled the phony news. The irony of all of it is none of these people have come to the realization yet that legacy media died. And it is dead, it is gone, it is buried.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliot.
There are men and there are women. There's an XX a chromosome, a woman, and an XY chromosome, a man. That's it. And anything else, they are mutations.
You have a very, very slight chance.
That's it. That's it. You can feel like anything else you want. You can claim that you're anything else you want, but that's it.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9 with Casey and Elliot on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Your grandkids have to lug around a backpack full of books. You just have to lug around your smartphone. A world of information right at your fingertips. Get the app now at WCBM.com. This is Justice and What It Matters to You. Listen every Saturday afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Now, once again, here's your host, Danny Manoff.
Welcome back, everybody. We really are having an interesting show today. Dan Gross is talking a little bit about the contrast between a virtual appearance and an in-person appearance. Danny, please continue.
Well, in this particular case, it was a hybrid hearing, as I was saying, where the mother was not present. She was appearing via Zoom. And the reason for that is she said she had COVID, which is understandable. Well, when she came on, she, as the judge pointed out, was noticeably intoxicated and happened to be smoking a cigarette on camera, which I don't know about since the 60s or 70s. I don't think too many people are smoking in court. I think you end up with seeing people, like I've seen people eating a sandwich and doing other stuff, and the judges will caution them and warn them because basically they're expecting the same decorum that you would get in court. So I think people end up having a more relaxed environment. I think that in terms of a trial, I don't necessarily, if I'm cross-examining a witness, I don't want them just as relaxed as possible. I want them in the environment they should be in, which is a formal environment, sitting on the witness stand, taking everything seriously, and feeling the pressure that they're required to. I'm not saying it should be difficult or showmanship, but what I am saying is that sometimes the serious and the gravity of the situation requires that. So I think that's how I feel about that.
Well, I think that's an accurate statement. And unfortunately, I too have seen situations that defy the imagination where folks are just so laid back and so comfortable. And in a court setting, you're right, the decorum is key, and so is being alert so the finder of fact can get the information they need to make the right decision. Dan, I'm going to take it in a little bit different direction. You have folks that support you in your practice. I know you have a paralegal, and that paralegal is virtual for the most part. I'm curious, can you talk a little bit about how you see the virtual support element affecting the practice of law? What's good? What's bad? What works? What doesn't? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think that a lot of times you hear different opinions about virtual, whether we should be in office, whether we should be at home. I think there's certainly some benefits for being present in an office, but I think there's a lot more benefits for being virtual. For example, my paralegal, her name is Maria. She's fantastic.
She is.
But she works from home, and it works great. She's there for business hours. She does everything we need her to do. She's always available. But I don't have to lease out an office space for her. Well, why is that important? Because if I have to add that to my overhead, then I have to pass that along to my clients. So I think that in the terms of, I think virtual can be a definite cost savings. And I don't think like we need 3,000 square feet of office space that largely sits empty and collects dust to impress people anymore. And that was often the thing. Clients are, you know, they used to be interested in what your conference table was made out of. And now we were having a Zoom conference. Well, if I buy a marble conference table, someone's got to pay for that. And that's the clients. And I think clients would rather have affordable legal services than, you know, I remember being in an attorney's office he was a third, fourth generation attorney in the family firm, and went into his office and there were bookcases with the wall that were 14 feet high and marble busts. And it looked like something out of 221 Baker Street with Sherlock Holmes. And that's sort of the old barrister image and everything. And that may be great, but I don't think that's what people today want. Today, people want a good attorney that will fight for them at a rate that's affordable and get them the results that they need or desire or justice or whatever it may be. So I think that virtual allows us to leverage technology to the benefit of everyone.
You know, that's a great point, because it doesn't matter what area you are looking at, whether it's automotive technician. An automotive technician today utilizes technological resources in a way that just 20 years ago someone wouldn't even believe. Or craftsmen that come to work on your home. It doesn't really matter the industry. The use of technology does translate into a lower cost and more effective service in most cases. So it's good to hear you say that. And obviously at Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, we are innovating that space by bringing the virtual to our clients as well to control costs and availability of services. That same study I told you about, that so many Americans that couldn't even meet a $400 emergency expense, and most of them are using credit cards to pay for those expenses. So having access to justice and legal services is paramount. It's great to hear you say what you're saying about the use of the virtual. And I would agree, if Maria is listening today, she's awesome. We appreciate Maria. So Danny, I guess the next piece is to talk a little bit about what's coming down the road when it comes to legal services and the clients that we work with. What's coming next? What do we see happening trend-wise with litigation, with the courts? How is the legal industry evolving? That's really what I'm interested in hearing about now.
Well, I think it sort of depends on what level we're talking about, since I think most of the folks we're talking to now are individuals and not working at an airline or something else. I'm going to sort of focus on, because that industry has changed a lot in terms of what corporations expect and what they're willing to pay for and how document review works and all that. But focusing on sort of the typical individual, I think you're getting a higher level of sophistication. And I think a lot of that's the internet and a lot of other resources people are able to do. I think you are seeing people, with the help of AI, able to represent themselves more effectively. They call that pro se litigant, when someone represents themselves in court. Because at the end of the day, some people just cannot afford an attorney. And I think that the paralegal services, and I think a lot of like IPS offers and a lot of things can help bridge that gap. So I think that it's going to be, I don't want to say, it's almost like you hear the term a la carte. It's going to be kind of more tailored, sort of whittled down to what people actually need than what traditionally they were told they needed. So I think it's going to give people more independence. I think the reason I say some people can't afford an attorney, it's like, for example, a public defender.
We're going to, pardon me for interrupting again, Dan, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Join Matthew Allwan for Wealth Without Risk, Sundays at 1 p.m. Learn how you can become safe financially before and after your retirement. Wealth Without Risk, Sundays at 1 on Talk Radio 680 and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric, Heating and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Call him today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online, timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carol's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Maid Pro, how can I help you today?
Oh my gosh, I called the wrong maid service, and now I'm in very deep trouble with my wife.
Maid Pro is here to help.
I need someone that is professional and takes the job seriously. No funny business.
All Maid Pro cleaners are background checked, bonded and insured, and are professionally trained in Maid Pro University. Maid Pro's 49-point checklist ensures that every cleaning is perfect every time.
I wish I called Maid Pro to begin with. I would not be in the doghouse today.
Make the right choice in maid service the first time.
Mention Arnold.
And your fifth cleaning is free. MaidPro.com. Maid Pro. Squeaky clean. Celebrity voice impersonated.
Some radio stations put their talk shows in a talk block.
But first, this bombshell.
Not here. You can talk around the clock. Stay connected and informed on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and WCBM.com. Listen every Sunday morning from 6:05 to 6:20 a.m. from the internationally known St. Jude Shrine in Baltimore. St. Jude is the patron saint of despair in hopeless cases. Sunday morning from 6:05 to 6:20 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Now, back to justice and what it matters to you. Every Saturday afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Once again, here's your host, Danny Manoff.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Dan Gross, attorney at law. We've covered a lot of ground today as we continue to innovate the virtual frontier at Intrepid Paralegal Solutions. Danny, you were talking about what's coming down the pike. Please continue.
Well, I think basically what I was saying is I think we're going to see a lot more sort of services tailored to the client's need more than the traditional law firm model. So I think like at my firm, for example, one of the most important things is I have a conversation with everyone, and I talk to all of my clients and I talk to them and say, you know, what do you really need? One of the things I often ask people is, what do you want? If you could just put the law aside, put the court system aside, you tell me what you want, so that I could try to get you as close to that as possible. But I don't want you to worry about the barriers. I mean, I'm aware of what they are, but I want to see what the goal is. If you could have the world your way, then we start at that point, and then we see what we can do with that.
And that's a great way to bridge that knowledge gap, so they're not worrying about what they don't know and feeling intimidated because I'm sitting with the attorney. Instead, it's a relatable situation where they can say, I'd really like to see this, this, and this happen. And you can tell them, great, I'll go to work on getting you there. I like that.
I think that's true. And I also think sometimes it's true that they can't exactly get what they want. But I think that's very important in an initial consultation too, because a lot of times you have people that think they're just salesmen. And they will tell you anything you want to hear to get you to sign that retainer, sign that check, and then they tell you the bad news. Well, I don't do that. Excuse me. What I like to do is, I believe one of the most important things is so that all my clients have real reasonable expectations. They know what's possible. They know what's a long shot. They know what's, you know, a slam dunk. They know what sort of the range is, so that I don't promise things I know I can't deliver. I'd rather, and if some other lawyer says, well, I can do that, well, I wish the best of luck to you. I may not agree with that they could do that, but I will never lie to a client to get a case. And that's whether that's in any practice area, criminal defense, estate planning, civil litigation, really wills and trusts, anything we do, probate litigation. So
that's a super valuable statement, because for anyone listening that's ever had interaction in this justice system that we are involved in, they know that the value of counsel telling you the way it actually is sure beats you having an unreal expectation and showing up to court and not having it go like that at all. That can create a lot of tension and a lot of disappointment. So it's good to hear that your ethics are where they are. Yeah, you know, I wanted to just talk for a minute about the team I work with. I've got people on our team that are just brilliant. All of them seem to be younger than me. I noticed that I seem to be the oldest. And they're just very capable of doing what you just talked about, which is making sure the client gives all the information and all of the desires that they have an assignment and serving them in a way that is equitable and ethical. So it's really great to hear you say that, Dan, because there's already enough stress and confusion and fear that goes along with a legal issue, even if it's not a criminal issue, just an estate issue or something like that. I did want to make a funny comment real quick about estate matters. You know, I've seen estate situations where everything goes out the window when the person is dead. And all of a sudden you got folks showing up with masking tape and making notes on property that this goes to me or that goes to them. And you don't see the best part of people in that situation many times. And that's unfortunate. What I wanted to say to our listening audience is that the advice you heard today about getting this done before later, which is what a lot of folks say, I'll get to it, was great advice. Being organized in this regard shows the greatest degree of love for your loved ones, because then they don't have to be thrust into a situation that's out of control.
That's absolutely true. And oftentimes, people will try to do things themselves on the internet and try to save a buck, but oftentimes it leads to problems. I do recall seeing a will after the person died. They did one of these fill-it-out-yourself deals, and it said, I leave all of my property to blank. And it actually said blank with a line. And if blank has predeceased me, meaning died before me, I leave all of my property to 007. Now, I don't know if they were talking about James Bond or what, but this was a person's will. This person had now died, and their family was presenting me with this. And at that point, we just had to treat them as intestate, meaning they didn't have a will, because there's not much we can do with that.
Now, wait a minute. There weren't any heirs by the name of blank or 007?
Not in this case.
I see. Okay. I was just curious, because I was going to say it might have been a great day for blank or 007.
Absolutely. But yeah, then we'd have to figure out which 007, because there's been so many of them.
Yes, exactly. So confusion reigns in the absence of planning. A great attorney like Dan Gross can help you eliminate confusion. And we are so happy you were able to make time today, Danny, to be a part of our show. We continue to work hard to make sure folks know that justice matters to them and that this is a venue where they can ask questions and learn things. Thank you again for being a part of our show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Great.